I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
You guys should all get a job where you can wear shorts to work.
I've got a stomach pain that's low.
You mean us or
fungus on my toe?
Oh, you guys, no, you guys can. Sure.
Never
as long as this show's making money, you can wear whatever you want.
I've never seen Dave in shorts.
Oh, I have.
Oh, I guess on the golf course, yeah.
Well, I wear shorts, but remember, my legs are exposed to Michigan Avenue based on where I sit
right,
in the Allstate Showcase studio. Yeah. So,
by the way, don't kid yourself that the TV people are wearing pants. They're not.
No.
In the summertime,
mm-mm.
You keep the coat and the tie in the back. You throw it on before the news over your upper half.
Mm-hmm.
You tuck in the dress shirt to your shorts.
Especially Paul Conrad.
Sapelsa.
Oh, totally Sapelsa.
Sapelsa doesn't even own pants. You know that?
Sapelsa has cool cowboy boots, by the way.
Okay, if you say so. Sponsored by Northwestern. He always wanted to be a cowboy. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. It's our friend Dr. Kevin Musk. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fine. I have some pain.
Yeah.
Perfect time to talk about pain. And then I thought, well, this is interesting. I have pain. We're going to talk about pain. And I went, wait, I have pain every day. I'm 56 years old. It's part of life now.
Yeah, unfortunately, as we age, you're going to get a little bit more areas that can get injured a little bit quicker than you could as a youngster. So, yeah, we're all going to deal with pain, and we deal with that on a daily basis.
All right, so I was icing my knees over the weekend.
Yep.
Played a couple of rounds of golf. First time I played back-to-back, so I'm really coming out of my shell. Icing my knees afterwards. Let me start with ice, because you always talk about rice. Rest, ice, compression, and elevation.
Yep.
Is that for any sort of lower extremity, or is that all over your body?
No, it's pretty much all over your body. You see pitchers after baseball games. What's the first thing they do? They go to the camera shot, and they have this big ace wrap thing holding a bag of ice under their shoulder. And the goal for that is really to decrease inflammation. If we decrease inflammation, then we decrease the irritation of the nerve. We decrease the irritation of the nerve, then we don't have as much discomfort. So, but really ice only for the first 24 hours. After that, it's really not going to do any good.
Yeah, my favorite ice story, Steve Kerr from the San Antonio Spurs when he was playing for him. He said he knew it was time to retire when he was sitting on the end of the bench. And he'd won 5 titles at that point with the Bulls and the Spurs. And he had 2 big ice bags on his knees.
Yeah.
And Tim Duncan and David Robinson were still on the team. And they looked down and sort of laughed. And they go, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm icing my knees. They go, you haven't played yet.
The aha moment.
That's when you know it's over. All right, so all of us, no matter what our level of athletic participation, ought to consider ice as an option, right?
Yeah, yeah. We have to realize that pain is a defense mechanism for the body. Pain is a signal telling the body that there's an injury, and don't use this body part. So for a lot of it, the injury is not bad. It's just a little bit of overuse. So the ice taking down that inflammation will allow you to use it. So ice, definitely.
And rest is obviously don't to use
yeah.
that joint or that particular body part if you can. The compression part, what are we doing there?
Well, compression and elevation are both, again, to keep down inflammation. So, you know, you sprain your ankle, you certainly don't want to leave that in a very dependent area. In other words, standing up or sitting in a chair where it's down. It's going to fluid is going to go there, inflammation is going to occur, and then what are we going to do? We're going to tell you to put it up to try to keep that up. So really, the person who sprains their ankle, the acute injury, what do you want to do? Get on a couch, elevate it, you know, keep that injured body part above your heart, put some ice on it, put some compression on it.
Wait, like an ace bandage?
Without any medicine.
It's like wrapping an ace bandage kind of deal.
Correct.
And there's a million videos on how to wrap your various joints. Online, the elevation part you just discussed.
Yep.
Hey, Doc, how do you know when it's okay to start? Say you hurt your ankle or your knee or whatever, on the elliptical, let's say, and it hurts for a few days. You do the ice, you do the compression, you do the elevation. How do you know when it's okay to go back at full force?
Well, yeah, you should be. You don't have to be completely pain-free, but you certainly should be at a place where the pain is not causing you a lot of discomfort. And probably the bigger thing is ease back into it. If you're doing elliptical and you set it at a tension of, say, 13 and you're going to do it for a half hour, when you come back, set that tension down to 6 and do it for 20 minutes. Ease back in, because an injury on top of an injury, just like a concussion on top of a concussion, is not good for the body, and you're going to get more of an inflamed response. The body's going to say, oh my gosh, it's injured again. Let's make sure we get it to heal this time.
Before we get to the drug side of this, the bigger topic, let me talk about some of the over-the-counter stuff. What about these pain patches? you know, Shaq's advertising them. Are they analgesics that you're just applying to those areas?
Well, they are, but there's a couple things. One is it's, you know, like Icy Hot, we'll say, and I think that might be the one that Shaq does. You know, a couple things there. One, it's aromatherapy. So they all have menthol. A lot of them have lavender. Just that odor and that smell kind of eases people and actually lowers their pain. We use that aromatherapy in the hospital for people who have chronic pain.
I've heard peppermint for headaches, too. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yep. Peppermint is another great one. And actually what happens there is the body, the chemical attaches to the skin on the patch there, and it causes almost an irritation to the skin where it causes it to feel warm, causes it to feel cool, causes it to feel warm again. You know, that's why it's called Icy Hot. It goes back and forth. And actually all that does is stop the body from sending a signal to the brain to say, this hurts. It really doesn't do a lot as far
just
as
fools the body.
Inflammation. It fools the body. It's exactly right.
Okay. So does the same go for the TENS units, or do they operate differently, and what do you think of those?
Yeah, the TENS unit is actually a chemical patch. So an electrical patch. So what it does is it sends electrical therapy or electrical shocks through the body, through these units, and it convinces the body that it doesn't have to send a message to the brain. So TENS units, very good outcomes with people with low back pain have them. Used to be that you just got them in physical therapy units or got them at the doctor. Now, go online, go to Amazon. You can get them for as low as $20.
If you upgrade it, you go to the opioid section. Well, first off, we'll come back. We'll talk about ibuprofen and anti-inflammatories. And then we kick it up to the opioids and the steroids and all of that. More with a huge pain. Dr. Kevin Most. In a second. Well, that's probably not great.
He's not the huge pain.
That's probably not.
Our pain is the problem.
It's my pain.
He's helping our pain.
He's a blessing.
He is.
He's about to hang up. more with Dr. Kevin Most in just a second. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. .651, Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us. And, Doc, want to wish the best of luck to our friend John Landecker, one of the all-time greats nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. And if Landecker doesn't get in, come on, please.
He'll get in. He's great.
And one of the nicest guys. And as far as I'm concerned, the greatest disc jockey ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Ever.
He was here for a little stint, too.
He was for a bit. Yeah. And his daughter is a big shot actress now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He does have a problem, though, doesn't he?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, his middle name was Records, and now you have all these millennials going, I don't know what a record is. Why would the guy be called Records?
Yeah, he doesn't have to say truly is anymore, because they don't know. They don't know.
All right.
It's 6:52. Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us. Let's talk about your ibuprofens, your anti-inflammatories.
Yeah.
Good for you, not good for you? What do you think?
Well, they're good for you, but you have to be a little bit careful with them because they can irritate the stomach and can cause actually bleeding in your stomach. So if you have a propensity for that, make sure that you talk to your doctor before you start going on them. And people don't even realize that Motrin, the Advils, the ibuprofens, those used to be prescription only. And, you know, now obviously they're over the counter. So there's that class of drugs. And the dosing for that, make sure you talk to your doctor because some people say 200, some people say 400, some people say 600. So it's a big range as far as what the dosing is for that. The other ones, you know, the Naprosyns and the Celebrexes, they're all okay. Their goal is going to be to keep down inflammation. If the inflammation is down, the pain will be gone. So fairly big proponent of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I've lived on Advil for years.
Yeah.
And I can't take it now because I have to take these blood thinners.
Yep.
And so I've switched over to Tylenol. How is Tylenol different?
Yeah, so Tylenol is a pain reliever, not an anti-inflammatory. So it's not going to take down inflammation, but it's going to help you with the pain. Where the Advil is going to take down the inflammation, which therefore helps you with pain. So two totally different drugs and actually can be taken together. We don't actually tell you to put them on top of each other, but we'll say take Tylenol, wait a half hour, 45 minutes, you can go ahead and take Advil. So you can use both Tylenol and Advil at the same time.
How about mixing? Not that you want to intentionally mix, but what if you're on a regular medication, Doc, and taking an ibuprofen? Is that okay to mix with either a cold medicine or your regular prescription?
Well, you actually make a good point there with the cold medications. With the regular prescription, they're almost all going to be fine with it, except in, like you just heard Steve talk about, if you're on the blood thinners, you want to be very careful with that. But some of these cold medications, you have to look, because some of them have Tylenol in them and some of them had Advil in them. We call them garbage medicines. They throw everything in there. They throw a cough suppressant. They throw a decongestant. They throw an antihistamine. They throw something that's going to bring down your fever. So you look at that and look at see what the components are of that medication for the cold tablets before you go and take another Tylenol or Motrin on top of it.
What about the opioids? We hear nothing but negatives here, but it's an important medicine when used properly, isn't it?
Correct, it is. You know, so we do have a problem with opiates here, and we're trying to get doctors to start looking at some of these other pain possibility treatments instead of using opiates. So really, opiates, we're trying to hold those back for severe pain and patients with oncology pain, and try to hold back on use of those. So you're going to start to see a bigger and bigger push because of the problem that we've had with opiate overdoses and people getting dependent on them.
Doug, we did a story last week on the fentanyl outbreak that's kind of hitting the streets now. It's a cocktail, but specifically, you know, fentanyl heavy. And we talked to the medical examiner. I guess my question is, how is that going from the hospital where it's a safe drug, where you use kind of what is an anesthetic or a painkiller, to the streets where it's accessible now?
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, doctors are part of this problem because we are the first ones to give those prescriptions, and it is such a highly addictive medication that really only a couple doses are needed before the person is essentially quote-unquote hooked. And what happens now on the street is the cost of those medications are so much less expensive than the medication they get from the doctor. So the patient that gets addicted goes to the doctor, and eventually the doctor says, whoa, time out. I'm not giving you any more of these because you are addicted to them, and we have to work on that. Well, unfortunately, what happens now is that person is going and buying them on the street where they're very inexpensive and unfortunately extremely accessible. And the problem there is, we can't tell you what the strength of those is on the street. You're starting to see some people have overdoses because it is so potent compared to what they got from their physician.
Cortisone and steroids, same thing?
Yeah, you know, steroids, people will say, you know, you probably had people with that had low back pain, and the doctor says, I'm going to put you on something called a Medrol dose pack, where they get a high dose of steroids, and then it tapers over about a week. And the reason for that is the body makes steroids, so we want to get a lot of medication in you immediately to try to keep that inflammation down, just like we would with rice and with anti-inflammatories, and then we taper it down. Other people have said, well, wait, I've had steroid injections. And then what we're doing there is putting a large amount of steroid into one area where we know the inflammation is so that it works properly. Versus the pills, if you take them, it's going to go around the entire body. With the steroid injection, it's going to work right where the orthopedic surgeon or the family medicine doctor gives you that shot.
And I've got osteoarthritis in both knees, and it's a bone-on-bone situation. So one of the things we're talking about is the potential down the road. Prior to surgery, which being a last resort, even though there's tremendous success with knee surgeries, knee replacement surgeries are almost getting, I don't want to say routine, but they're really good at it now, aren't they, Doc?
Oh, they're very good. I mean, we have a lot of people that go home the same day now with after knee surgery. It's amazing.
One place is doing it as a drive-through. I think that's too soon.
Right.
But platelet-rich plasma, PRP, it's not so experimental anymore?
Well, it's still experimental. It's still being studied, but the concept behind it, and again, you know, doctors are body geeks. So platelets, we all have probably heard of platelets, and we say, oh yeah, platelets, that's what helps you stop, you know, bleeding. If you're bleeding, platelets will form a clot and stop that. Well, not only that, but platelets also have a lot of proteins and a lot of chemicals that help us repair body parts and start the regeneration process. So if you think about it, it's kind of cool. The body knows it's been injured because it's bleeding. And what does it do? It sends something there to not only stop the bleeding, but to start the healing. So the concept is, well, if that's true, why don't we take someone's blood, spin it down, take the platelets out, push it into another piece of their blood, and inject it back in to the body part where it's healing. So instead of giving you steroids, we're giving you a natural component that actually has been proven to increase scar tissue production, has increased healing process, and increased regeneration. Jury's still out. There's been some studies that say it works. There's been some studies that say it's not so hot. But you have a lot of athletes that have tried it and used it, and that usually gets a lot of attention.
Yeah, and because they are, they have to have it to make their money, and they have to be back in play as soon as possible. If it's working for them, maybe it works for others. But you say jury's still out, doesn't mean it doesn't work, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it doesn't work. There's a lot of people who are going to tell you, boy, it worked perfectly for me after I had tried a whole bunch of other things. This is the only thing that's worked. You have a lot of brilliant, smart, well-trained orthopedic surgeons saying, you know what? We've tried these other things. Let's try this. But again, this is a perfect one. You know, we talk about placebos. This is a perfect placebo drug.
Mary Vandeveld has a separate question before we go. What do you got, Mary?
Just a quickie. You know, I'm expecting my first grandchild. And
congrats.
Thank you. And we were asked by my daughter-in-law's pediatrician to get a whooping cough tetanus. Is this something new for grandparents to have to do?
It's not something new. We've been doing it for, I don't know how long. But what happens, Mary, is that the child, when they're first born, does not have any protection at all. Giving that, being exposing that child to whooping cough at that time of their life is devastating. So actually what we have even here, we're fortunate to have a Walgreens in the unit, in the hospital here. We come up and give shots to the fathers and the grandparents for whooping cough when they have newborns.
Oh, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. So what you really are trying to do is protect that child, because whooping cough, unfortunately, we got the shots when we were young. We said, oh, we're fine. No, you're not. We have proven that the immunity for that drops off. So it's very popular, and it's something that every new father and new grandparent should make sure that they get those updated.
I did. I got mine done at Walgreens, and boy, it hurt. It was right in the muscle. Yow.
Not like I give it to you, right?
No.
I give you a nice shot. And you,
man,
yeah.
Easy breezy. That thing was sore. But anyway.
Doc always gives you a shot of whiskey right before he gives
exactly.
you a shot.
That's right.
Thanks, Doc.
Great stuff, Doc. Thanks for all that information.
Hey, quick shout out to Steve. Mom turned 85 this week.
Come on.
On Saturday, we all were together and had dinner with her. So
you got to
and happy Mother's Day to her.
I know you've been. I know you believed her for years. There's no way your mom's 85.
I know.
You
got
to check her for ID.
Someone's doing the math wrong.
Count her rings.
Yep. Happy birthday, yep. Mama Most, who should be a saint.
Have
she
you
should
met
be canon.
Her?
Yeah, remember at the fundraiser?
She's awesome. Outside?
I say this every time I see her. She looks unbelievable.
I always said she should be canonized.
Fountain of Youth. I don't know what happened to Doc.
We call her Saint Most.
She deserves it.
Yeah.
Along with my sister, though, to be honest with you. The
right.
two of them to put up with the four of us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, your mother and your sister are definitely the people that, you know, deserve the most credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day. All right, thanks, Doc.
Have a good week, you guys.
Bye, Doc.
See ya. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.